as confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me, for He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free. Says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anybody else in here tonight want to say so? Amen. Amen. Glad to know I am redeemed tonight. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer, and then we'll come back around, and we'll let you guys sing with us tonight. But again, it's good to see you here tonight. Brother Joe, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity back in the house again tonight. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us this week. Lord, thank you for answering prayers. Pray the Lord Jesus be with our church tonight. Be with the choir. We bring praise and honor. Yes. Lord, be with our pastor.
Amen. Church, would you stand tonight, join the choir as we sing? Turn to page number 113, and let's sing Glory to His Name. Page 113. All right, everyone sing now.
Down at the cross where my Savior. Thank you.
could just keep on singing that. Hey, man, we're just getting on a roll good there. It's good singing tonight. Thank you for being here, and please continue to pray for all those that were mentioned this morning and some folks going through some very difficult times. Continue to pray for Miss Glenda. Any words tonight, Brother Davis? You doing any better? A little bit? Okay. We want to continue to lift her up in prayer. I believe she has a doctor's appointment this week. So we want to continue to ask the Lord just continue to be with her. And we're thankful for what the Lord has done. And we look forward to what he has in store for us. And Brother Randy's going to come around here, and he's got an announcement for you tonight. But please remember all the prayer requests. And it's good to know that the children's home has made it home from Gainesville safely. And I trust that you guys had a great service there this morning. So be much in prayer for the church and what's going on. Brother Randy's going to tell you a little bit about that.
Well, it's that time of year again. No, I'm not coming after you. I'm not voting. I'm not running for president. I'll leave that up to the professionals. I'm no professional. But anyway, what it is, we're right coming up on our new church year. Our new church year coming up here beginning the 1st of September. So our nominating committee, guys, I need y'all to all stand up for me, please. I need you to stand up. I want you to see them. These guys are the guys, including myself, will be coming around and talking to a bunch of you and who already have classes or already teaching. But our pastor brought a message this morning, and I don't know if y'all paid any attention to it. What was that title again? You didn't pay no attention either, did you?
He only looked at me because he couldn't remember.
I can't remember it either. Words of that. It was on the screen here just a minute ago. Put it back on the screen, Elsie.
I remember the message. I just don't remember the title.
Yeah. Let us go on. All right, listen here, guys. I need your help. I need your help really, really bad. Because, see, here's the thing. Our nominating guys, we're going to be going around, we're going to be talking to a lot of people, but I don't know if you might be interested in wanting to do something this year. Maybe you want to make a difference in our church this year. So here's what I want you to do. If you're sitting there and God's just done got all in your playhouse this morning with the message that our pastor brought this morning, you're just dying to want to do something. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? You with me so far? See these guys right here? Every one of us would love for you to come talk to us and say, look, I need. If you got a place I want to fill in, or you got a place, you can just plug me in and let me know. I want to work. Amen? Amen. Okay? Is that fair? Please. We got 2 weeks to get this thing together, and our guys are going to be coming around talking to all of us. Okay, I need you to be much in prayer for us guys. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm just going to tell you from the bottom of my heart. It's time for us to get busy.
Amen.
It's time for us to mean something. It's time for this church to do something. And we're going to do it this year in spite of me. Okay? I'm the Sunday school director. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to apologize to my guys this morning. I'm going to apologize to my pastor and my church and my Sunday school this morning. I let you guys down, but I'm just going to tell you what. We ain't going to be down this year. Okay? I made my mind up. I ain't crawling in the mud no more. We're going to get this thing going. Let's get it right. Okay? So, teachers, get ready. We're going to have a great year. Church, we're going to have a great year. Pastor, we're going to have a great year. In spite of me. So, I just want to tell you that, guys. I'm not going to take any more time, but if you're just, you've just been burning, God's got something on your heart, and you want to be plugged in somewhere in this church as a teacher, a helper, an assistant, I don't care. Find one of us and let us know. Because I don't know your heart. I don't know what God's got on your heart, but I know there's somebody here wants to do something. Amen? Can I get an amen there? Somebody wants to do something. And we need help. So if you want to work and we need help, we need to get together. I'm taking applications right after church. I'm just kidding. But seriously, get with our guys if you want to work. Help us out. We need you. I'm to do a Charles Hardy. We love you and we need you. Yes, we do. We love you and we need you, guys.
I heard something this morning that touched my heart. When you're doing what God would have you to do, you're in the place that God would have you to be, and the Holy Spirit is using you. That is what your gift is.
Amen.
Did you hear that this morning? My gift, where God uses me, is right here.
Yes, sir.
And where I am in God's gift is when I'm, that's where I'm my happiest.
Yes.
When I'm standing here, when I'm preaching, I'm teaching God's word, that's where I'm my happiest, because that's my gift. Whatever your gift is, don't let the enemy cheat you out of God using you in your gift this year. And hey, we'll be needing to fill out some applications. We need somebody, we'll be needing somebody out there to direct some traffic. Wouldn't that be something? Not just for Jubilee, but on a Sunday morning, we need a traffic attendant. You know what that tells me? I'm going to have to be working hard to try and find you guys somewhere to park your cars for our choir. Our music ministry is going to need somewhere else to park, Pastor, because there ain't going to be anywhere else for them to park. There was a time, Brother CJ, when we was looking around thinking, we got just a few chairs left up here. Brother Randy, my desire is we'll be looking to find some new chairs. Amen? Don't limit the God of Israel. That's my God. Why are we so worried about that mountain, Brother Joe? Yeah, he does. Brother Harold, all these years I've been working, serving with you. And there's one thing I'm so thankful for about you. You've always been a man of faith. Have some faith, church. I know what it's like to come in here and look around and think, where is everyone? We got a good crowd here tonight compared to what we had this morning. Amen? Go out and tell people something's going on at Calvary. Not who we are, but who He is.
Yes.
And through the Holy Spirit, let Him fill the church. Amen? Tell them we got a pastor that's preaching the word. We got some people over here that love the Lord, and we want to see God do something in this place. And let's see what God won't do in 2000. Boy, it's hard to say this. 2000. Yeah, we're getting along there, aren't we? Moving forward. I want to see him do something this year, Charlie. Because there's going to be a time when some of us may not be here a whole lot longer. I want to see God do something here while I'm here. Amen. Or we can come in, sit down, like Randy said, in the mud with the mother grubs and say, oh, look around. There ain't nobody here. There's somebody here. And that's a great God, Jehovah. Holy Spirit's here. Let's pray the Lord would save souls and send souls and fill this place for the honor and the glory of God. Amen. Father, we love you. And Lord, that's the reason that we're here. That's the reason we've come in to this place and opened the doors and turned on the lights. Again, Lord, rare, I know, but on a Sunday evening. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for your church, Lord, that we can come to and we can worship and we can praise tonight. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would have your hand upon Calvary just as you have in all those years past. Lord, we're not giving up, we're not giving in, we're not giving out. We're just giving it to you. And asking you, Lord, to take our pastor and our church, Lord, and this group of people that want to serve you, and Lord, do something great for your honor and for your glory. Lord, touch the offering. Lord, you know what we're going to need in the days and the months and the years to come. Lord, I pray that you touch your people. Lord, we need your strength. We need your power. We need your anointing. Lord, help us not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit and your anointing upon our life, what you want to do for us and through us. Touch us, Lord, on a Sunday evening here tonight and show us, Lord, show up tonight and show out and show us, Lord, what you want to do, Lord, in this place. Lord, be with those that are sick and can't be here. Lord, be with those that just for whatever reason are not here and touch them, Lord, right now where they are. Bring them back to us, Lord, if it could be your will. Send us new people, Lord, that want to serve you and worship you. Lord, thank you for a great church. But, Lord, we're looking for a greater church for you and your honor and your glory. Touch this place here tonight. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name.
But he did not despair.
is the Lord tonight. And I tell you, the Lord has showed himself. And based upon the countenance of his people, I can tell that he's here. And the Lord has a way of bringing a joy and a calmness that's unexplainable. And I appreciate that tonight from him. And appreciate the choir. And hitting on all cylinders. And of course, we have the world's greatest choir director among us. And I mean that, Brother Allen. We love you, brother. Appreciate your dedication. And as you said, I couldn't picture you anywhere else than leading choir and teaching and preaching, brother. What a blessing. And we enjoyed the service this morning. And tonight we're going to go in a little different direction. Again, this morning we talked about Let Us Go On. And individually in our spiritual pursuits and then corporately as a church. But tonight we're going to go in a little bit different direction. We're going to be in the Old Testament. That is 2 Samuel chapter number 9. That's quick. I've got a quick draw in the front row. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. I do want to say this. We're going to lean in a little deeper next Sunday morning upon this idea of serving the Lord more heartily, getting in and committing. We treaded lightly this morning, but then next Sunday morning we're going to lean in a little deeper. But tonight we're going to go in a little bit different direction. And I have talked about and mentioned David and Mephibosheth before, but I really feel led tonight to go over these two men again and mention some things that through the life of David, at least here in chapter number 9 in the man Mephibosheth, how they can picture some things. And you don't hear much about Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan. And I want you to notice in verse number 1, and our title tonight is just plainly David and Mephibosheth. But in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, or shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits. that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. I normally don't do that much reading in any particular sermon, but sometimes it's needful to get the full idea of what's taking place. We know that David is king here, and we know that Saul for many years was jealous and tried to kill David. Saul had a son named Jonathan who befriended David. And man, they were close friends. Jonathan, in fact, the Bible talks about and says that both of their souls were knitted together, surpassed the love of a woman. And wasn't nothing in the wrong about that, nothing foul they were talking about. It just talked about this deep, friendly, brotherly love that they had. They were knitted together. And we know that Jonathan had a son. At least he's talking about and mentioning one of his sons here, and that is Mephibosheth. And David is looking to show kindness unto someone of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And again, tonight, I want to look at these things and mention some things as it pertains to David and how David is desiring to show kindness. I want to look at Mephibosheth and his position when he was down in Lodibar. And I want to look at this servant named Ziba and how that each and every one of these characters also pictures a New Testament character. And it pictures how the Lord works in our life. And so tonight, let's talk about David and Mephibosheth as our sermon title. Number one, I want you to notice, in verse number 3, we see that Mephibosheth can picture the sinner. Or Mephibosheth can picture the lost person. Look in verse number 3, if you would. The Bible says, "And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son." Notice this. "Which is lame on his feet." We see that this man, Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, he was a lame man. He couldn't walk. He was crippled. Now, let me go a step further and say that this man, Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, he was crippled. And this crippling of Mephibosheth was caused by a fall. Turn back, if you would. We're in 2 Samuel. Look in chapter 4, verse 4. We have Mephibosheth. David is looking to show kindness, and there's Mephibosheth, and he was a crippled man. His crippling was because of a fall. 2 Samuel 4, 4. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet." Notice this. "He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." During this announcement in the life of Jonathan, he was making haste, and the nurse of Mephibosheth dropped him early in life. He dropped him, and because of this fall, he was crippled. So we see in our text verses tonight, chapter number 9, that we see that David is looking to show kindness to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And he knows that through this messenger, Ziba, that there's a man, there is a son of Jonathan named Mephibosheth. I want to say tonight that Mephibosheth pictures the lost person. Listen tonight, we all are born sinners. There was an original sin in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And because of their sin, it was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And I want to say tonight that Mephibosheth can picture the sinner because he was crippled, which was caused by a fall. This pictures the people and everyone who's born into this life. We're all born sinners. In fact, Romans 5:12 says so, if you want to look that up later. But not only because he was crippled, which was caused by a fall, Mephibosheth can picture the lost person. But Mephibosheth lived in Lodibar. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4. He lived in Lodibar, and the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Now, the name Lodibar simply means pastureless or no pasture. And so we see here that this crippled man, Mephibosheth, not only he was crippled by a fall, but he was living in a place where it was pastureless. And there was no pasture. There was no resources. There was no substance. It was a dry and barren land, Lodibar was. The lost person that doesn't know Jesus is living in a place called Lodibar, a place that's spiritless, a place where there's no rest, a place where it's pastureless. I want to say tonight, as I said this morning, that the Christian life is not a hard life. The way of the transgressor is hard. As they're seeking peace in life and trying to fulfill that void on the inside of them. But they're trying to do all these things in a place, spiritually speaking, called Lodibar. The same kind of place that Mephibosheth was at. A place where there's no rest and no pasture for gleaning and no resources. So there was no spiritual rest there. There was no pasture to be found. But yet, he says it again in verse number 4, and the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." And so this David and Mephibosheth can mean a lot of things tonight. But one thing it can picture the lost person. And we see that Mephibosheth was crippled from and by a fall, but also Mephibosheth lived in Lodibar, a place that was pastureless, no pasture, no rest. It was it's in spiritual significance of the place where the lost person is at, where there's no rest and no happiness in their life. But notice this as well in verse number 6. When it comes to Mephibosheth picturing the lost person, Mephibosheth fell on his face in surrender. Look in verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." You say, what does that have to do with anything, with where you're going with the message? Well, if there was a fall and Mephibosheth was crippled and he lived at a place called Lodibar and he was finally in the king's presence and he bowed himself in surrender, this is a wonderful picture of salvation. And how that a person can be crippled by the fall. And that is, we're all sinners from birth because of Adam and Eve in the garden, but yet we live our life and we're trying to fulfill that emptiness on the inside, and then we come to that place of realizing it's Jesus that we need. We surrender our hearts and our lives and we accept Him as our personal Savior. Number one tonight, we see Mephibosheth can picture the sinner. He can picture the lost person. But number two, I want you to notice in verse 1, when it comes to David and Mephibosheth, we see Mephibosheth can picture the lost person, but then David can picture the Savior. Look in verse number 1. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 9:1, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" We see that David can picture the Savior because David is desiring to show kindness. And just remember that Saul had wronged David. Saul had tried to kill David. But now David was at a place where he could terminate Saul if he wanted to. But yet he desired to show kindness. He says, and David said, is there yet any that are left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And we see that David desired to show kindness when he could have showed fury. I want to say tonight that this pictures the Savior, how that our Lord, listen, he was sent by God the Father. And you know the story. We try to reiterate the story every Sunday the best we can. In as little time as we can, but he was born of a virgin, took upon him the form of a servant. And we know he was spit upon and his beard was plucked and he was mistreated and scourged and placed upon the cross. Listen, he could have called a legion of angels, 10,000 even, to terminate all of those who were chastising him, but he did not do that for his Father's sake. He was here for a purpose and to redeem fallen man. And so God showed us mercy through Jesus, and now we have David showing mercy for Jonathan's sake. Now as king, he desires kindness where he could have imputed fury. Let me move on, and not only do I want to mention Mephibosheth can picture the Savior, or Mephibosheth can picture the lost person, David can picture the Savior, but then what about this servant Ziba? The servant can picture the Spirit. Notice if you would in verse number 5. Or look at verse 2, then 5. And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto him David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. Now look, if you would, in verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. We see that King David had conversation with Ziba. And now he is sending Ziba down to Lodibar, a pasturous place. A place where there's no pasture. It was pastureless. It was empty. It was void of resources. Out of the house of Michar. Notice that in verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michar. Michar means sold. It means, or it refers to, a place of bondage, a place of stress, a place of captivity, the house of Michar. And then Lodibar, a pastureless place. I want to say tonight that David sent Ziba on a specific mission down into the place of the house of Michar, a place of bondage, into the vicinity of Lodibar, a pastureless place, went right up to the door of Mephibosheth and arrested him and got him. Listen, that is the same kind of work the Holy Spirit does tonight. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly what we're doing, and if he has a message he wants to get to us, God the Father sends God the Holy Ghost right to our residence, and he speaks to us, and he arrests our hearts and convicts us. That's what Ziba did. David sent a servant to fetch Mephibosheth out of the house of Michar, place of bondage. Of course, this speaks of, and it pictures the Holy Spirit who seeks us out and convicts us and leads us to a place of repentance. I want you to notice also that Mephibosheth did not come to David, but David came to Mephibosheth. And any of us tonight who are rejoicing in our salvation, it has nothing to do with our own merit or our own praise. Listen, it is God who sought us out. It's him that came to us. We didn't come to him in all of our attempts. We tried in turning over new leaves. I know I did. Tried to turn over that new leaf and tried to do right and tried to do well. Yet I still could not come to him. Praise the Lord, he came to me. We see tonight this servant. This servant. in verse number 2 and 5, named Ziba. Let me mention another thing. In verse number 7 and verse number 13, we see that there's a provision that can picture our supply. The provision of David can picture our supply. Look in verse number 7. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." How about that? David was the resource of Mephibosheth. And David sought out Mephibosheth, and he sent this special servant, Ziba, right to his residence, out of the house of Michar, down in Lodibar, a place of bondage, and he captured him. He captivated him. He arrested him, and he brought him back to David's palace. And now Mephibosheth has nothing to worry about. Mephibosheth is at the house of David. He is at his table eating bread continually. Look in verse number 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Mephibosheth had nothing else to worry about in life at all. He was at the king's house, at the king's table, and he was eating bread continually. Listen, that is so pictorial of our life, the New Testament believer. How that we were separated from God by the fall of man, and how that we're sinners by nature, and yet it was a sweet Holy Spirit who sought us out. And our testimonies we could give one by one, how that the Lord made visit to you, and how you came to that place in your life of being convicted, and you surrendered your life to the Lord. And now we're following Him, and we're trying to hit the bullseye of His holiness. We don't always succeed at that, but we try to daily and live for Him and render up praises to Him and serve Him. And yet the provisions that we have are going to sustain us continually. How many times along the way do we worry about, well, how's the money going to come in? How are the bills going to be paid? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How are all these things going to happen in my life and take place in my life? I have a family to raise. I'm a father and so forth. Well, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. I think many times we get that backwards. We try to seek the things first, and when we realize that we can't find what we're seeking, we go after help. "Well, Lord, I don't know why this isn't happening. Lord, you know I have this need in my life, and God, you know I've tried everything I can do to make this happen." That's the problem. Tell it to Jesus first. Bring the care and bring the concern to Him first. Rely upon Him and His sufficiency, and He promises that there will never be a need in your life that's never met. We have a picture of David here. And David is the supplier of Mephibosheth, and he sought him out, and he brought him to his table. And as long as he was at the king's table, he had nothing to worry about. You may not realize it or not tonight, but we're sitting at the king's table. We are sitting at King Jesus' table, and He purchased our salvation, and He sought us out. And if you're saved tonight, you have accepted what He's done for you. And He is always and forever going to take care of His children. You know, Christy and I, our little 11-year-old adult, Lily, she better not hear me say that. She may confirm it. You know, for the most part, she is. I mean, she obeys. Now, she is a child and she is a sinner by nature. She's a Christian. She got saved. But there's some times when she doesn't obey. And there's some times where I sense and I see that there is deliberate defiance coming from her. She has her own will. She has her own plan. She's just trying to get it around Daddy so I don't see it. One time I told her, and she was upset about something, and I had to get on to her. And I'm telling you, I can count at least probably on this hand five times since she's been alive that I had really had to get on to her. I don't have to that often, and when I do, it really gets to her heart. That's why I don't get on to her that often, because it works. But this one particular time, she got on to her about, she did something. I got on to her, I had to correct her about something, and she said, Daddy, I'm really sorry. Does this mean, you know, we can't go and do this, or we can't go and do that? Or, you know, I said, honey, let me tell you something. I said, no matter, and I really explained what I'm about to tell you to her. I said, no matter how good or no matter how bad you are, you will always have something to eat and a place to live. I said, now listen, there's consequences for disobedience, but there's one thing you can never stop your mother and I from doing for you, and that is feeding you, clothing you, and housing you. I want to say tonight, that is our God, that is our great Savior, Jesus Christ. The same way that David sent Ziba to get Mephibosheth, and now he's at the king's table. Listen, all is well. He has nothing to worry about. He is totally reliant upon the king. And tonight our provision comes from him. He's our provider. And he's our sustainer. If things go wrong along life's journey on tomorrow or some way, some down in the work week or next month or next year, guess what? We don't have to worry about it because we have a sustainer. We have a provider. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But David, he can picture our supply in the provision that he gave Mephibosheth. Let me mention one more thing. Not only the provision of David can picture our supply, but Mephibosheth's sitting can picture our justification. In verse number 13, I want you to notice. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. Notice this. For he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. While Mephibosheth was pulled up, bellied up to the table, no one could tell that he was lame on his feet. While he was bellied up, while he was at the table and he was eating, nobody could tell he was crippled underneath. You know what the Lord does for us when he saves us? Listen, it is all level grounds in Christianity. But there's one thing about it. When the Lord saves us and he calls us to himself, he covers our life with his blood and we are free from all sin. Past, present, and future, we have been cleansed. We have been justified. In the same way that Mephibosheth was bellied up to the table, no one could see how crippled his legs were. How about that tonight? It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you've done today. If your life is hid in God through Jesus Christ, all your sins are washed away. Let's serve Jesus together. Don't grapple and worry about and moan and gripe and complain about dropping the ball on God today. Guess what? We'll probably drop the ball on God tomorrow somewhere. And the next day, somewhere down the road. But the truth of the matter is, if we have been saved, we have been justified, just if I had never sinned. So we see that Mephibosheth was bellied up to the table and no one could see his crippled legs. Also want to mention this as we get ready to close in just a few moments. If Mephibosheth exited the table, if he pulled back to the table, you could see his crippled legs. And while I don't want to end the sermon on a negative note, I think that the sermon in its entirety was encouraging. Sometimes in life, we pull away from God's table. And when we do, you can see our ugliness, can't you? While we're bellied up to God's table, you can't see our crippledness. We're all covered. And listen, even if we pull away from the table, we're all covered in the blood still, those of us that are saved. But there's just something about staying at God's table and no one seeing anything. And you can't see your own sin. You're just bellied up and you're serving God, reading, praying, studying, going after God. But the times that we scoot back to the table and we think we got it, then the ugliness is seen. My challenge to all of us tonight is to just get right back up to God's table as close as you can. Get on top of it if you want to. Read from His Word. Get in your prayer closet and pray to Him and ask Him, as David said, "Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and make me in the way everlasting." Listen, I second what Brother Randy said a moment ago. Let's go after God. Let's fill some positions. Let's not look back. Let's take our hand to the plow and just keep moving forward for the Lord. Because we know not when He may come. He can be any hour, any time. And when He comes, let's be found faithful as His servants. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, tonight for Your love and Your kindness. God, we're thankful for who You are and for what You do. Lord, I'm glad that the Old Testament is still Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable. But Lord, how tonight, on a Sunday night in Powder Springs, Georgia, we can glean from the fact that David can be a type of Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament comparison. He wanted to show kindness when He could have shown justice. And then the searching of Mephibosheth, Lord, and his crippleness and Lodibar, how that all of us, at one time or the other, whether we realized it or not, we were at a place of desolation. But the sweet Holy Spirit came to us and arrested us. Tonight, Father, we scooch up to Your table. We don't want to see our ugliness, Lord. And Father, sometimes when we try to handle life on its own, and the devil gets in our ear and we back away from the King's table, how our ugliness is seen. But oh God, that You would keep us at Your table. Let us feast from Your word and feast from fellowship. And God, I pray that You would just continually add even to this church. Help us, Lord, to be about Your business and occupy until You come. We love You, Lord. We thank You for what You've done, what You're doing, and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and altar of invitation is given. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Now's the time. Anybody tonight? Anybody need to come get back to the table? You come. Nobody's pointing fingers. We're all here to be edified. Keep on going, church. Invitation's extended. Don't put it off, church. Amen. That'd be enough singing tonight. Say, I appreciate you being here this evening. Got a good crowd. And appreciate your attentiveness to the word tonight. We appreciate and are very thankful to be able to share the gospel one more time. And it's been good to be in God's house today, hasn't it? Amen. And God's doing little by little. And I feel the more we give of ourselves, the more He'll bestow. And so let's keep on giving of ourselves and really search your heart. Let me just say this, and we'll close in a word of prayer. What do you like doing for God? Again, next Sunday morning, we're going to lean into a little more because we really want to do something. But what do you like doing for God when you're going after God? A.W. Tozer has at least a couple, he has a lot of books, but there's a couple books that I hold dearly. One of them is The Pursuit of God. But then he came out with another one, I think it came after that one, called God's Pursuit of Man. First one was Man's Pursuit of God, and then God's Pursuit of Man. And I know he knew this, but we don't pursue God until God pursues us. And my prayer is, and my thought is this, is let's just surrender to the Lord. And when we surrender to the Lord, we'll go after Him. And the question is, what do you like doing when you're going after Him? I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. When I'm going after God like I should, I can't sleep at night on Saturday nights. To get here on Sunday morning. But on the contrary, if I'm not going after God like I should, Lord, let it be a testimony service. It's all level playing field, church. So my challenge to you is ask God tonight, Lord, what will you have me to do? Give yourself to Him the best you can and watch Him ignite a fire in your heart to do something amazing for Him. I know He will. You know He will. Anything else to mention before we close? It's been good having our visitors here today. Good having some tonight. And we will dismiss in a word of prayer. Anything from the... Okay. All right. Well, if that'll be all, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Brother Larry Bennett, would you do so, sir?